Hello, hello, my wonderful embodiers. This is your April training. Sorry, it's not your April training, it's your March training. I'm already looking ahead to our mini retreat in April. But we are in our last month of looking a little bit deeper at myth of perfection. We started off in January with our mini retreat, and we really kind of reviewed myth of perfection, broke it down more. We did the welcome to the world technique that kind of looked at some of the shadows of perfection and integrating them. In February, moving along with the myth of perfection topic, we looked again at the even though nevertheless exercise. And for this month, we're going to be taking a deeper look at one of the exercises we looked at very quickly in Sacred Depths. It's a catastrophic thinking exercise. This is a little bit of a different spin on even though nevertheless, and it's one that I think you're really going to like. We're going to get more into the pieces of it today and the details and really look at some ways to help with clients to turn catastrophic thinking on its head and maybe to help you turn some of your catastrophic thinking on your head. The reason why this is part of our myth of perfection quarter is because, as you'll see, as we go through the training today, it's a short training, but it's a powerful one. You'll see that catastrophic thinking, one way that you can look at it is as a form of black and white thinking, right? Which we know is 100% related to myth of perfection. So let's start here. What is catastrophic thinking? Well, for the purposes of our work together today and for the exercise that I'm going to be sharing with you, here's how I'd like for us to think about catastrophic thinking. It's thinking or believing that something kind of bad is going to happen, or even something kind of bad already did happen. And then, because you think or believe something bad is going to happen or it has happened, you attach a catastrophic story about the future to it. So you're worried that something not so great is going to happen, or something not so great already did happen. And then you attach a catastrophic story about the future to it. You decide that because this kind of bad thing is going to happen or has already happened, that it's going to lead to the worst. Just the worst, the worst. So let me give you some examples of this. Let's say you're worried that your business isn't going to do well this month, or you won't make any sales. Because of that worry that your business isn't going to do well this month, or you're not going to make any sales this month, you also decide that you're going to lose all of the clients that you already have, or that you're never going to have a meaningful business ever, right? You're taking one kind of bad thing. My business isn't going to do well this month. Could be true or not. And then you're attaching a catastrophic story about the future to it, right? Or even my business hasn't done well the last few months, so I'll never have a meaningful business or career. Here's some other examples. Maybe you're worried my business is going to develop too slowly, it's going to grow too slowly. That may or may not be true. But then you attach a catastrophic story about the future to it. And then I'll never be able to make money doing something I love. Here's another example. The guy I'm dating is going to end up dumping me, and then I'll be alone for the rest of my life. Here's another example. I'm going to write this book, put all of my best ideas into it. It's going to flop. And then I'll never be able to write another book again. I'll have blown it on this first book. So again, the catastrophic thinking, it starts with a worry that something kind of meh or bad is going to happen, or even the meh or bad already did happen. But then you're attaching a whole other story of catastrophe and doom and the absolute worst thing happening because of this one meh or bad thing. Now, if you are hearing this and you're thinking, uh-oh, I'm a catastrophic thinker. I do this all the time. Oh no. I just want to let you know that you are in good company. I too am a catastrophic thinker. And I have had to, over many years, rewire and continue to rewire my way out of catastrophic thinking. It is my first go-to place. And I think there are many reasons for that. I think, you know, we don't have to look too far for the reasons, but history of Holocaust trauma in my family, my mother's illness, the way my parents think, it was modeled really, really well for me. And also, and this might resonate with you, or you might see this for some of your clients who are catastrophic thinkers. Even though the catastrophic thinking ultimately doesn't serve me, it is a protective mechanism for me. And maybe for you too, or maybe for your clients. And what I mean by that is the catastrophic thinking tricks me into thinking that I'm seeing everything that might happen. I'm on top of it. It puts me into this hyper alertness that maybe makes me think I'm a little safe, even though at the same time, I'm thinking the worst and I'm worried everything is going to fall apart, right? It's this paradoxical thing that happens with catastrophic thinking. It makes us feel like we're at least a little bit in control because we can see already it's going to happen. So let me become hypervigilant, right? For many years, my own catastrophic thinking had a lot to do with my business. It still comes up sometimes for sure, but it also comes up in my personal life. I'll give you one example. So I noticed recently this happened. My older daughter has acne and it's a meh thing. It's a not, you know, you don't want that to be. But I went straight to thinking she's going to have the acne forever. And because she's going to have the acne forever, then clearly she's going to have low confidence her whole life. And then that's going to lead her to not putting herself out there. And she's going to end up miserable because she's not going to have the confidence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The truth in all of that is that she has acne right now. There is a possibility that she may never get rid of it. But everything after that, that's just catastrophic thinking, right? Okay, so first, before we get to the exercise, the catastrophic thinking exercise, let me ask you a few questions. Number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how prone are you to catastrophic thinking? 1 is you never think the worst. 10 is You often, very, very often think the worst. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how prone are you to catastrophic thinking? And what I'm going to say next is not a scientific statement, but I think it holds some water. Probably whatever number you came up with relates in one way or another to how much of a perfectionist you are. What I have seen is that the more someone is a perfectionist or has myth of perfection thinking, the more prone they are to catastrophic thinking, right? Because it goes back to the ping-ponging that we looked at in January and the black and white thinking of myth of perfection. So the more you're going to go to perfection, the more you're also going to ping-pong to catastrophic thinking. Okay, next question. Where do you think, or where do you know your catastrophic thinking tendencies come from? Where do you sense or know that they come from? So again, for myself, as I said earlier, Holocaust trauma, my parents modeling it, everything was catastrophic growing up and even now for me. So where do you sense your tendency towards catastrophic thinking comes from? All right, next question. And of course, you can always hit pause if you want more time for journaling. What are some of the places that you tend to apply catastrophic thinking in your life? What are some of the places in your life that you tend to apply catastrophic thinking? Maybe you didn't even realize until right now that we're on this topic that you've been applying some catastrophic thinking. All right. And then how, if at all, does your catastrophic thinking serve you? How does it serve you? So I mentioned one example earlier. It's a protection mechanism for me. Maybe for you, you know, and this is maybe similar to protection mechanism, it's safer to be in a state of worry than to be in a state of ease. Or maybe for you, your catastrophic thinking serves you because then you just don't have to take actions at all, which might be scary or stretchy because you already know it's not going to work out. So why bother anyway? So how does your catastrophic thinking serve you? What do you use it for? Is another way to ask that question. What are you using your catastrophic thinking for? What's its purpose? Okay, so again, you can pause this recording if you would like some more time with the journaling questions. But for now, I'm going to move on to an exercise that you can use with your clients who you might see are involved in catastrophic thinking on a topic you're discussing. And of course, all the journaling questions that I just asked are great coaching questions to ask a client as well, if you sense that they have a tendency towards catastrophic thinking. Okay, so you can do this little exercise verbally, but I also like to have clients write down their answers. And I'll also have the steps for this in the Embody Member Center for you. So step one is a fill in the blank question. I'm worried that fill in the blank will happen or has already happened, right? So they're going to name something that they're worried about, not the catastrophe yet, but the meh thing or the even awful thing, but not the catastrophe, right? I'm worried that my launch won't go well. I'm worried because my launch didn't go well. Or I'm worried that my friend is going to get really angry at me. My partner and I had a fight last night, and I'm worried they're really upset with me and angry at me. I'm worried because I didn't make enough money last month. I'm worried that my boss isn't going to like my work. I'm worried that my teenager is going to fail her class, or I'm worried because my teenager failed her test, right? So first you have them write down a worry that either happened, something that they're worried about, or they're worried it is going to happen. Not the catastrophe, but kind of like the top of mind worry, the meh worry, even that worry. So go ahead and do that for yourself, right? I'm worried that X is going to happen or it just happened. The actual thing. Okay, next step is where we start to identify the catastrophic thinking, right? And because that happened, then this is going to happen, right? So I usually have my clients write, and then they fill in the blank. My business is going to completely fall apart. I'll lose that friendship or all of my friendships and feel alone. My marriage will end and I'll never have love again. I'll never have enough money in the bank. I'll lose my job and I'll never be able to get another job again, right? My teen won't graduate this semester. So take a moment and write down what is the catastrophic thinking that you're attaching to the worry, the meh worry, it's not a great thing, but not so terrible, right? What's the catastrophic thinking that you're attaching to your future because of that worry? that class didn't go well, and therefore everybody in the class thinks I'm stupid and nobody is ever going to buy from me again, right? Or I'm worried that next week's class isn't going to go well. It may or may not, right? And then when it doesn't, everything is going to fall apart. Okay, so let's pause here. There's more to this, but just even from these first two questions, the idea, as I hope you're already seeing, is to create awareness for the client or for yourself on how the next step worry is getting attached and conflated with a catastrophe, right? And how actually, even if that worry, that next step worry comes through, it doesn't have to be embedded with a catastrophe. The two things can be detached a little bit, right? And so just creating the awareness that the one doesn't necessarily equal the other can help detach them and help your client already start to move away from the catastrophic fear. So just because my launch goes well doesn't mean that my business is going to fall apart. Just because my friend is going to get angry at me doesn't mean that I'm going to lose that friendship. Or even if I've lost that friendship, it doesn't mean that I'm never going to have a close friendships again. Just because my teen might fail her class doesn't mean that she's not going to be able to pass it later on, or that she's not going to have a meaningful life, right? Okay, so that's the first part. Now from there, if you want to continue with the work, then you say to your client, okay, so even though we see that these two things are attached, let's for a moment imagine that the catastrophe happened. Let's imagine that your child doesn't graduate this year. Let's imagine that your business does fall apart. Let's imagine that your marriage does fall apart. Let's imagine that the worst happens and you do have to leave your home. You do get evicted. What resources do you have no matter what that let you know that you can start again? What resources do you have and you'll have no matter what that let you know that you can start again? So, for example, I play this game sometimes with my business, right? I said sometimes I go into catastrophic thinking with my business. It's all going to fall apart, right? Okay, so I say to myself, Joanna, if that does happen, what resources do I have that let me know I can either build a business up again or I can find work that is going to be really meaningful for me? And then I make a list of all the things. Well, I have my creativity. Even if my business falls apart, I still have my creativity, and that takes me far. I have all of my knowledge and wisdom about shadow. That's going to help me rebuild or find meaningful work. I'm most of the time a friendly person, and I'm pretty good at making connections. So even if everything falls apart, I know I have that innate resource to help me build back again. I have my intuition, which is really strong. Even if my whole business falls apart, No one can take my intuition from me, and I can use that to build something if I need to, if everything falls apart. I have extensive knowledge of how to make sales. Even if my whole business falls apart, I'm taking that sales knowledge with me, and that is a resource that I can use to start another business or get into something else. I have a whole, another resource. I have a whole library of emails I've ever sent or posts I've ever written on social media. Even if my business falls apart, I have so many words that I can reuse. I'm a great writer. Even if my business falls apart, no one can take that away from me. I can use my writing skills to build up something again. Okay, so those are all answers again to that question. What resource, even if the worst, let's imagine the worst happened, what resources will you have no matter what? Right? Nobody can take it away from you, that let you know that you can move out of the catastrophe. So take a moment right now for yourself, and whatever catastrophe you're working with, make a list of your resources that you're going to have no matter what, inner or outer resources. I'll just give you one other example. Another resource I know I'll have, even if my whole business falls apart, and let's say I did something terrible and a lot of people end up hating me, not every one of my clients is going to end up hating me, right? Those connections are resources that I'll have, even if the worst happens. Okay, you can pause this recording to continue making your list. And then when you're ready, hit play again, because I'm going to keep on going. Once your client has made a list of all of their resources that they'll have, no matter what, even if the catastrophe happens, next step, have them take it in. Really feel the power of all of those resources, those inner and outer resources. Help them own them somatically, right? You can do that for yourself right now. Look at the list that you just made. Take a moment and take it in. Breathe in each thing on your list. Really own it. And then from this place of owning the resources, then the last question is, what's possible with these resources if the catastrophe happens and you have to start over again? What's possible with these resources if the catastrophe happens and you have to start over again? Oftentimes, what happens through this process is that a client will actually end up seeing so many more possibilities and opportunities in front of them than they had seen before, that they could start to move forward towards right now, right? So not only do they move beyond the catastrophic thinking in the situation, but they start to see so many opportunities that are available to them right now in this moment. this exercise that we just went through, it's a it's kind of like a future casting, even though nevertheless, in a way, right? It's a, do you see there's that like flavor, even though I have this worry or this thing happen, right? The nevertheless is all of the resources. And then we get to future cast something more helpful from there. All right. I hope that this was a meaningful time for you. I'd love to hear what came through for you personally and also practitioner-wise from this training and from this discussion of catastrophic thinking and the exercise. Please share in the Facebook group. Let me know what your takeaways are, what's popping for you. And of course, if you have any questions, and this is an exercise you might want to practice this month in your monthly practice session with Inpal. Sending you lots of love.